So we're going to do things a little different this Sunday than we normally do. For those of you who come from more of a high church background, this may feel a little bit more familiar. Today, we're going to focus the message and the service around communion. And we're doing this because it's the first Sunday of the year. And I felt in my spirit that we needed to dedicate ourselves to the Lord for this year. And we needed to realize that our victory is our faith. That the faith we have that's been given to us by God is our victory. So we've invited the children to stay with us this morning. There is a nursery program still available for anyone who needs a nursery. But otherwise, we've asked the families to stay with us this morning. And so we're going to start the service now with invitation from Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That is the invitation of Jesus Christ for all who would need rest for their souls. And that is not only a promise for eternity, that's a promise for every day. It's a gift. Today we start the new year with a proclamation of our faith through the reading of God's word and the partaking of the Lord's Supper. If you have not yet received the elements for today's service, they're available at two tables in the back. As we go through it, we're going to start with the bread when we get to that point. And you can just take that off and get the bread, and then you flip it over. And when we get to the cup, you just take the top off, and there's the cup. If you do not have this, go get those. Now's a great time to do that, even though we're still a couple minutes away, probably about 20 minutes away from partaking, because we are going to dedicate ourselves to our faith in this time. The word of God for the Church of Jesus Christ from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. This is our scripture reading for today. I'll be reading verses 50 to 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a trumpet, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then we will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Lord, your word is eternal and everlasting. We are like the flowers that fade and the grass that withers. And so we lay down our crowns. We lay down our plans for 2022. We lay down our pride, our ambition. And we ask, God, that you crucify our flesh. We forsake the devil, we forsake the world, and we forsake the flesh for the life of the Spirit. Help us now come by the grace of God that has been imparted upon us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, so that we may hear the word of God and receive the elements, so that we may be healed, so that we may be forgiven of our sin, so that we may be restored into a right relationship with God and walk in faithfulness in the year of our Lord 2022. Come, Holy Spirit, and minister to us now the promises of God in their fullness for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Beloved Church of Jesus Christ, you are my brethren. My brothers and my sisters, we are one. That is the mystery of God's grace. We come to the Lord's table on this first Sunday of 2022 to declare that God has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He is your Redeemer. He is the light of the world. The victory of God is the defeat over the evil forces of hell, of sin, and of the final enemy, death. Paul declares in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him." Paul declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 26, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all the enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death." Thus says the word of God. Jesus declared in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 to 18, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and hell." The words of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ proclaimed in John chapter 11, verses 25 to 26, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And then Jesus asked this question. And I want you to hear it personally. He was talking to Martha, but I want you to hear the question of Jesus. "Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe this? Do you believe in Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, who took your death on the cross of Calvary, which every person deserves as the wages of sin, so that you may experience forgiveness for sin through the sufficiency of God's grace? Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus Christ defeated death, experiencing the resurrection from the dead after 3 days in the grave, revealed himself in his resurrected body to his followers for 40 days, and is now ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he intercedes for you today? Do you believe this? Do you believe that God loves you and has chosen to make his dwelling place in you through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who has sealed you for the day of judgment? Do you believe this? Do you believe that even now you have eternal life through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus Christ will come again soon to bring his people to himself and restore justice, so that that Jesus will restore justice to the nations through the iron rod of judgment? Do you believe this? Do you believe that on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will make all things new and restore on the earth the dwelling place of God with humanity in the new heaven and new earth? Do you believe this? This is our faith, and our faith is our victory. Our faith has been bestowed upon us through the love of God in Christ Jesus and passed down to us through centuries of faithful teaching. The answer to Jesus' question about belief is the key to your daily partaking in the victory of God graciously given to you through faith in Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 states, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." It is your faith, it is your belief in these things that is your victory. Because the victory belongs to God and is given to us through Jesus Christ, and His victory becomes your victory through faith. That is God's grace bestowed upon you. That is the teaching of the church throughout millennia. That is the faith given to you. You have a received faith, not one created of your own. It has been imparted to you through the Holy Spirit and through the teaching of His Word. Do you believe this? Faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That is what faith is. I will say it again. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It is our faith in the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and imminent return of Jesus Christ that is our victory. Because it is through faith that we take on the life of God through the forgiveness of our sins and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Eternal life has already begun for each person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus has removed your sin from you, cast it from the east as to the west, and He has already healed you and given you life, which is His life in you. Jehovah Shalom lives in you. He has redeemed you, and greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world, because the light cast out darkness. You are alive because you are in fellowship with God. That is your victory. That is your faith. And that is what sustains you. And that is the fresh mercy of God each and every day to be reminded of and restored to your faith. As a regular practice of our faith and as a proclamation of our unity as the people of God, we declare the victory of God through the partaking of the elements of the Lord's Supper. The bread represents the body of Christ. The cup, we use juice, other traditions use wine, represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Our participation in this supper causes us to yearn. Often people joke about how these things taste, whether they're fresh made and passed out or they're pre-sanitized packets. No one ever feels satisfied by these elements. It's because you're to yearn for the great wedding banquet feast. You're to yearn for the day when you will be consummated in your relationship with God. You're to yearn for the completion of that which has already been given to you as a deposit. Do not be mistaken. What you have now is a deposit of a guarantee that is to come. What you have now causes us to yearn for what will be, which will be perfect union with God. Perfect fellowship. No more death. No more pain. No more tears. No more jealousy. No more sin. Not even a desire or inclination for sin. Even more perfect than the garden was perfect, because there will not even be a capacity for sin in the new heaven, new earth. Perfection. We call that glorification. The state in which you exist in fellowship with God without even desire to break the fellowship with God. Unlike your human condition now, which constantly yearns to make life work out the way you think it should work out, instead of the crucifixion of the flesh, which invites the Spirit to yearn within you for His ways, His will. When we come to the table, we come to declare our faith, and we come to yearn for that better day. We call it the day of Christ Jesus, when all things will be brought to completion. So we come and we yearn for the day of the great wedding feast, when we will enjoy together this meal in abundance in the very presence of Jesus Christ. And on that day, not only will our union with God be perfect, but we will be reunited with that great cloud of witnesses who has gone before us. And we'll see Carol again. And we'll see loved ones that we miss. So now let's take a moment of silence. And let's yearn for that moment. And let's remember those that we miss and wish were here with us. Lord, we remember our children who have gone to be with you. We remember our friends, our spouses, our siblings, our parents, our grandparents, our family, our fellow church members, our friends. And we know, Lord, that as we partake of this great memorial feast, that it points to the time when we will be reunited with those that have gone before us. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you give us hope, that our faith gives us hope because you are the resurrection and the life. We come to this meal with gladness of heart and joy in our spirit, not because this world is without torment or grief or suffering, but because you have conquered. Because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, because you, Jesus Christ, have overcome. We come to this meal to be reminded that we can walk in these promises each and every day of our lives. The victory is ours because the victory is yours. Amen. I will now read the words of institution over the elements of this ancient ordinance of the church. In some church traditions, this is called a sacrament, so some of you may be familiar with that term. In our tradition, we call it an ordinance. I'm going to read to you the same words of institution used by almost every tradition. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 33. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and then he gave thanks. He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The chalice of God's grace. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Now let us, as the one body of Christ, in concert with the church of Jesus Christ, throughout the world and throughout time, partake of the elements together. You may eat his body broken for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for taking my sin upon yourself. The chalice of grace, the cup of the new covenant, the eternal seal of God with man. Drink. Your sins are forgiven. This is the eternal covenant of God with humanity, which is for the forgiveness of your sin and the eternal union of your soul with God. May God have mercy on his people, and may you find rest for your soul. It is my prayer that this service today and this partaking of the Lord's Supper, that they will remind you of your baptismal vows. When you committed your life to God and Jesus Christ, and you forsaked the devil and the world. The cross before you, the world behind you, no turning back. We now dedicate ourselves to Jesus Christ and his righteousness, and our days left upon this earth to the service of the King of Kings and his eternal kingdom. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you defeated death. I believe after 3 days you rose from the grave and revealed yourself for 40 days until you ascended to the right hand of the Father. Will you pray for me right now? And I believe that you're coming soon. May it be 2022, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. I believe that I am your church, a member of your body, and that this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Come and habitate and activate within me and use me in 2022. May every day of this year be dedicated to you. May every moment of every day be dedicated to you as I recommit my life to you, as I recommit myself to this faith given to me, as we commit ourselves to be your church, your hands and feet upon this earth. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. I now declare over you the words of the Apostle Paul from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6, and 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, church, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope for your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we have come to your table as commanded. We have remembered your sacrifice upon the cross. We have recited the ancient gospel message. We have been reminded of our doctrine. We have been reminded of who we are as your church. And so, Lord, as we face 2022, may we face it with faith. As we face 2022, may we face it with hope. As we face 2022, may we face it with love, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We are your children, called by your name, and you have bestowed your love upon us that we may be adopted into your family. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for sending your Holy Spirit upon your church. Activate your Spirit within your children, Father God, so that we may go from this place anchored in our faith, strong in our belief, mighty in our love. And may faith, hope, and love never fail us. Because, God, you will never fail us. And that which you promised, you have provided for. And that which you have promised is ours. For all the promises of God are ours in Christ Jesus. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.